A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Nedarim Daf Beis Amud Aleph, Nedarim 2a. Pagination, theoretically, is page 3. The concept of Nedarim is that a person has the power to make a vow to use his verbal expression and articulation to actually create an obligation or a prohibition upon himself, possibly on others as well, to benefit from a certain thing or an obligation to do a certain act. Now, there are many forms of nedarim. You can make a vow on many different topics. The classic example was a person who said, Harei alai karbon. There should be upon me an obligation to be a karbon, to bring a karbon, or Harei zu karbon. This is a karbon. And notably, that's not our topic. That topic of karbonos will be dealt with in the Seder of Kodshim dealing with karbonos. We are on the topic of very personal obligations that a person might declare, either because of self-growth, he wants to encourage himself or discourage bad behavior, and he's making a vow to do or not do a specific thing, or perhaps in a moment of anger, he may decide to prohibit something, possibly something that he's wrong in letting his anger take things so far. He makes a declaration that someone should never be able to benefit from his property, or that he'll never go and visit somebody. It could be that it's totally wrong, but that is the power of words, that a person can create an Isser Torah. He can create a prohibition, which the result is that biblically he's going to be prohibited from doing whatever it is that he declared not to do. Now, in a halachic sense, on a practical level, the Shulchan Aruch begins the laws of Nedarim by telling us, Al tehi rogil b'nedarim. Don't make this a habit. This is not a good thing. In fact, even when it comes to tzedakah, you're going to give charity, which is really like a good thing to make such a commitment, we're very careful to make it b'li neder, without a vow, because even then, it's not recommended. The exceptions which exist, and which are brought in halacha, is that be'es tzara, in a time of distress, a person has the right to make a neder, to make a commitment of some sort, presumably with the understanding that perhaps this commitment, even if it doesn't have merit currently, but this commitment will cause Hashem to grant him salvation. Another possibility is l'chonein de'osav, in order to put him on the proper path. If a person is afraid that he might slip, alcohol abuse, for example, might be an example where he makes a vow not to drink alcoholic beverages, or anything that he's worried and he feels that by making this neder, by saying that I will go to certain places or I won't go to other places, is going to help him, so then he would be within legitimate rights to make a neder. However, as a practical matter, we really do not do this, and we strongly discourage it. In the words of the Mechaber, Lo yargal atzmo bohem, ala yifrosh midivarim sharoi lifrosh mehem b'lo neder. A person should not have this habit, but rather he should achieve the things he wants to achieve without making a neder. Now, the classic example of a neder is called hatfasa, where you link something that you made as a vow or could have made as a vow, something vowable, if you will, and you say that this new item is like that. The classic example is a person who would say, Kikur ze alai kikarbon. This loaf of bread shall be upon me like a karbon, like a sacrifice, like an animal designated for the Mizbeach, from which I am not allowed to derive personal benefit. So, interestingly, even though our Masechta is not primarily dealing with vows of karbanos, it will end up mentioning karbanos in a significant way because the typical neder was an extension of the karban topic because he was likening the item that he wanted to prohibit to a karban. Our Mishnah, as the Mishnayos often do, jumps directly to something that's a bit advanced and kind of skips the introduction, presupposing that we know all this. And it jumps directly to the topic of kinuyim and yados. Kinuyim are slang words. Instead of saying the classic word that would denote making a neder, making a vow, there were all kinds of other words which were slang, which were used for whatever reason. The Gemara discusses different reasons, two different reasons why this exists, but the fact is that these other words qualified as slang and were accepted and would be binding as words of Nedarim. Examples of this would be that the word konam would be one way to say, but also konach or konas, different types of derivatives which became the slang of expressing that something should be forbidden to him like a karbon. The other term that we just used was yados. Yad is a hand, or in this case, a handle to a pot, which means that the person expressed himself but didn't articulate fully the text of a neder, of a vow. So he's holding the pot, he's holding the thing that he wants to discuss, but he's not holding the main part of the pot, he's holding the handle, but from that handle you can manipulate the entire pot. And this analogy is being used to express the idea that a yad leneder, a handle of a vow, is binding, even though the person has not totally expressed their intention, but it's quite clear to us what their intention is, and because of that, it's going to be binding. The Mishnah states, Kol kinuye nedarim kinedarim. Whenever you use slang of vows, it's going to have the same rule as the vow. Skip a line, ushavuos kishavuos. And when a person makes an oath, using a kinui, using a slang, it's also going to be a valid shavua, and it's going to be binding as an oath. The Gemara on Amud Beis explains what's the difference between a neder and a shavua. The Gemara says about seven lines down, Nedarim, a vow, is the mitzar cheftza alei, that he makes the item prohibited to him. He says, this loaf of bread, or this pen, or whatever he chooses, shall be like a karbon, meaning the focus is on the item, it should be forbidden to him. skipping a line, Shavua, in the case of an oath, however, Dika'osar nafshe min cheftza, that he's putting an obligation on himself regarding the item. And the focus is going to be on the person, on what he's going to do or what he's not going to do. In Talmudic terminology, in Lamdas, a neder is an iser cheftza. It's a statement regarding the item, whereas a shivua, an oath, is an iser gavra. It's a prohibition placed on the person in its method of articulation. And we'll get to other cases as the Masechta unfolds, but if a person wants to prohibit himself from sleeping, if a person wants to prohibit himself from benefiting from somebody else's property, from walking on their ground, how would it be articulated, and in what cases would his statement in fact be binding? Yashikovach, thank you for joining.